But I titled my message today, Remembering Who You Are. Because when we come to the table, the Lord's table, we're not only remembering who He is, who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, we're also remembering who we are. And a lot of times we get stuck on that. We trip up on that one because we just think we're disciples or we just think we're this or that. But we don't realize that each one of us now, according to Romans chapter 8 and other chapters, and Galatians chapter 4, that we are sons and daughters of God. We're part of the family. We're not servants who are sitting behind the master's house in the servant quarters anymore. We have come into the house with Father God, and we're a part of that house. Amen? So let's go to, and we're sitting at God's table in the house. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to start here. That's the ones I read this morning on communion. It talks about the remembrance and the remembering. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, and even the mystery. We're going to be there next passage. But it says in Romans 11:23, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." It was the night he was betrayed, and he's still doing communion. He's not in a hurry. He's not excited. He's not upset. He's not crying in the corner, "Oh, woe is me." He's not doing any of that stuff. He knows who he is, and he knows what's coming, and he knows what's going on. And so should we, because we've been told in the Bible who we are and who God is and what he's done for us and the future we have. His thoughts towards us are not evil, but good. He has a future for all of us. And it's not a bad future. It's a good future. "And when he had given thanks," verse 24, "he broke and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You know, when Jesus was on the cross, his body was broken. But when we do communion, we put him back together. We remember him to wholeness, because that's where he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. As he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17, amen? In verse 25, it says, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," what happens? What do we do? Every time we do it without even opening our mouth, what's happening? We're proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. That's why I can't understand why we can't do it every day of the week, because it's a proclamation in the atmosphere. You know that when you speak, you shift the atmosphere. You have the authority in Christ to change the atmosphere, to shift it, to cause things to change. We have that authority in Christ. Let's go now to Colossians chapter 1. So here's my problem. I'm going to explain this to you before I read. I'm reading the whole chapter for one reason. I could have just picked two verses and said, good. I could have done that. But when I started studying this message, I felt like the Lord said to me, "For you, read the whole chapter." It's not going to hurt us, right? Let's try it. Let's try it and see what happens. It starts out about Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. "By the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the saints." Who are the saints? All of you. How many know you're the saint? "And faithful brethren in Christ, who are in Colossae and today in Lakewood. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace from our Father, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it also has all in the world is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew what? What did I know? The grace of God in truth. And as you learn from Epaphras or something like that, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. If you know anything about Paul, he's not ashamed to repeat things. I mean, how many times in the book of Romans does he repeat the words much more? Over nine times. And he said, pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That's a big word, qualified. I mean, you're qualified. Do you ever wake up days and wonder if you're qualified? Come on. Takes sometimes one hand, two hands, and both feet, you know? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Christ and for Christ. And he is before all things, in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is, in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I don't know if you're a book reader, but if you are, there's a great new book out by Bill Vanderbush. That's his name, Bill Vanderbush. Some of you have probably heard of him. Bill just wrote a new book called The Sound of Your Blood. Not the sound of Jesus' blood, not the sound of my blood, but the sound of your blood. It's a small book. It's about 130 pages, 135 pages. Just a few dollars on Amazon, I'll tell you, it's worth the read. And I'll tell you, read it more than once, because it has to get past the barrier of your mind into your spirit. Amen? And it says in verse 21, and you who came, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your, where were we enemies? In our mind. Where's the alienation between us and God? In our mind. Where did Joyce Myers, in her book, the big hit book, The Battle of the Mind, and even now writes, there's a Bible called The Battle of the Mind. Because where is the warfare? Between our two ears. Amen? That's where the warfare starts. That's where it's at, in the mind. And that's where we become alienated. Our mind thinks things that sometimes are not biblical. Like distance. We know God's way out there and we're down here. Or separation, when we're always one, where he's living in us. We teach our kids in Sunday school that Jesus is living in their heart. And then we become adults and wonder where he's at. Where is he? Ask a little kid in Sunday school, they'll tell you. He's in their heart. And then verse 22, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now here's the scriptures. One more scripture, and here's the scriptures I would have picked out if I just did too, okay? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh. That is what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, verse 25, to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, the second word, the mystery. Mysterion, that's what it's in Greek, mysterion. This has been hidden from ages. It says, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, comma. But now, has been revealed to his saints. Not just to the clergy, not just to the hierarchy, not just to the priests, not just to certain denominations who think they're superior over other denominations. Has been revealed to his saints. What is the mystery? Well, verse 27 explains that for us. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, even among the Gentiles. How could that be when the Jews are superior? They're up here. And the Gentiles are dogs down here. That's the way a lot of people think. They think that way. Glory among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ, where's he at? In me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You want to know something? You're God's mobile home. Wherever you go, God goes. And he does. When you leave here today, he doesn't stay here in this building. He goes with you. He's with you in the car. When you're coming to church on Sunday morning and you're having a fight with your spouse, he's with you. He's listening the whole deal. When you're at home, guess what? He's still there. He doesn't get offended by that. You know, he made us. He knows what we're made of, amen? And verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me and you mightily. Well, let's just turn. We're just going to go to Mark chapter 11. Mark 4, excuse me. Mark chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. This is what it says. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of what? The kingdom of God. Some people always say to me, what's that about? What's the kingdom about? I mean, I have a friend, Pastor Jack Irvin. He's written 7 books on the kingdom and 1 book on vision, which was about the kingdom too. And if you don't know about the kingdom, just buy his books. They're available. Or you can call him on the phone. I'll give you his phone number, and he'll get them for you. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Again, the word mystery comes from the Strong's word number 411, mysterion, from the mia, to imitate, initiate, into the mysteries, hence a secret known only to the initiated. Something hidden requiring special revelation. In the New Testament, the word denotes something that people could never know by their own understanding, and it demands a revelation from God. It's the same thing with grace.
You can't get it by education. You can't get it by inspiration. The only way you get it is by revelation. And until you get that revelation, you'll never see it. But that's okay, because God loves us all the same, no matter where we're at. Amen? The secret thoughts, the plans, and dispensations of God remain hidden from the unregenerated mankind, but are revealed to all believers. In non-biblical Greek, mysterion is knowledge withheld, concealed, or silenced. In biblical Greek, it is truth revealed. New Testament mysterion focuses on Christ's sinless life, atoning death, powerful resurrection, and dynamic ascension. That's why I got the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, because it's in there. I don't have to bring a suitcase of books up here and go from one book to the Thayers, to another book, to the Strongs, to the back to the Thayers, and then go to my parson guide to find out what's past and present, what's perfect. I don't have to bring all my books. The Spirit Life Bible by Jack Hayford. So when we are partaking of communion, it is not only about remembering Jesus, it's also about remembering who we are in Christ. I mean, that's important. See, if the devil could ever get you, he'd get you on your lack of knowing who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are, you don't know your identity in Christ, he'll beat you up. And he'll beat you up good and good. And I mean good and good. But here's my question. Are you open to mystery after this? Are you open to the mystery? I know I am. I'm like it says in one, there's a scripture, I think, in the book of Psalms, where it says, if you want to know more of God, just open your mouth wide. That's me. And over the years of growing in Christ, I have longed for a faith that feels like no more striving and more like breathing. And my faith in Christ today, because of what Christ has given me, is more like breathing. It's not like striving. And in reading our Bibles over and over again, we taste again the goodness of God. This is my Bible right here. Watch this. When you pick up your Bible and you read it, it picks you up. When you pick up your Bible, open it, and read it, it picks you up. That's a prophetic word for you. It's also a book title. But today and every day isn't about learning something new. It's more about awakening to what has always been true about God and us. I forgot my hat. That's why I wore this outfit today. Because I had a hat to wear. And I forgot my hat again. There's always next week. I got two more weeks. So I could be wearing this outfit next week. And I'm not going to tell you what the hat says. But it does say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, us. Transition, transformation, and transfiguration are happening even now today. For the last three Sundays, I spoke to you on Matthew 17 about the transfiguration. Last three Sundays. So you can get those on the website whenever you would like to look them up. But today and every day, awakening, awakening, awakening. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, it says, arise, shine. That's Jack's song. Jack Hayford years ago wrote a song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. He wrote it in his office. In his office, on his magnificent Yamaha, huge grand piano. It's in his office. Why is it in his office? Because Jack is a worshiper before he's a pastor, before he's a preacher. And now guess what he's doing in heaven? He's one of the many that are bouncing up and down. And when you see the sky bouncing, you know Jack's up there. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Who's the light of the world? Who is that? It's Jesus. and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen where? Upon you. If you could see yourself in the Spirit, like I have seen you before when I pray for you daily, you would see beams of light shooting into the sky from wherever you are in the city, all over the city, wherever you go. There's a beam of light shooting to the sky in the invisible that's not visible to the natural mind, but because of what the Word says, the invisible becomes visible. And so what on earth is being born? God calls us to transition. He implores us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Thus we experience him who is our transcendent state of being. But far too often we experience it in the here and now, is life through a clouded vision and lost dreams. So today and every day, join me as we both join in the journey, as together we transition into transformation, into transfiguration through his open door, his mystery, his door of intrigue and adventure. I have a problem with the hook. How many's ever seen the movie The Hook? I have a problem with saying that Peter Pan had the greatest adventure. They're wrong. I have the greatest adventure in Christ. His banqueting table awaits us all. His throne is ready for each of us. And we read that in 1 Corinthians 11. And so as I am wondering to myself, and it may be out loud, what in the world would Jesus do in our present circumstances where we hope for something new? And here you are reminded, here you reminded me not to be misconstrued or confused, but to refocus my gaze on he who has burned off the maddening haze. And remember me, because it's all about Jesus and what he did. Didn't he say on the cross in John 19:30, it is finished? Didn't he say in the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 5, it is done? What are we struggling with? What we have to do?
Hey, what do I do, Pastor?
You rest in the finished work of the cross. R-E-S-T. Not T-E-S-T. God's not testing you. He wants you to rest effortlessly and enjoy the finished work of the cross. You don't have to major on the cross. Just major on the glory, the mystery, the adventure, the intrigue. It's all about what Jesus did, having done it all, and then through the Spirit and everything he accomplished and everything prepared for us. And as we learn to rest in him, cease from our self-effort and graciously trust, and it becomes for us second nature. It's easy. I found it easy to rest. I found it easy to believe that I don't have to break myself down and try to pray 24 hours a day. I don't have to do it. He said to me, it is finished. He said to me, it is done. As in it's finished, it is done. As in the beginning, as it is, none are diminished. Nobody gets diminished in Christ. And so as we discover his life is worth the living, our journey of faith becomes invigorated and thrilling. For it's not about striving. It's not about working harder. I heard that word somewhere this morning. It's not about a rededication, but the continual outpouring of his love from within, or from a friend in the grace of his Spirit. Because love himself has revealed himself in us and freed us from iniquity, transgression, and sin. And so every time I sit down after a long, hard day, and I look at the dinner table that my wife Marie prepares for me. And as I begin to pray and crave, I wonder, what was it like when Jesus broke the bread saying, "This is my body. Partake. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time I sit at the table. After the cross, Jesus never said, "Come to the altar." He said, "Come to the table." We only get the table after the cross. We don't get the cross anymore. In the same manner, he also took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we ask our Heavenly Father, what does it mean to remember? Do we just think of memories of long ago past? Or does it actually mean that his history, God's history, what he has done, what Jesus has done, does it actually mean that their history becomes our history? It does. It does. His actions become ours. When Jesus died, we died. When Jesus was buried, we were buried. When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. When Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we have sat together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And his essence actually becomes our present reality. And as his victory becomes our celebration, because his son's resurrection is our resurrection. Could it be this, and even more, is it possible that because of the grace of God and his finished work, we can have it at this time in our remembering, and we too can live beyond time? I believe it is, church. There's no time in Christ. You are eternal now. You are eternal now if you're in Christ. How many are eternal now? If you don't raise your hand, you're coming to the altar. I don't thank you. Come to the table. See right there? You notice this right here? Where the bread's on? What is it? It's a table. I think the other side has a saying on it. I think it's hid. Is it? Huh? I think the other side says, do this in remembrance of me. Homemade, somebody from our church made that table. I can't understand why the church doesn't take communion every Sunday. I don't get it. Some churches only take it once a month. I know some churches only take it three times a month, every 3 months. And I know some churches that only do it every 6 months. And I know some churches that haven't ever done it. They've never done it. Not once. Oh, okay. That's okay. I'll settle down. And no longer marching to the law, doing double time, but living in and with absolute declaration that the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the Trinity accomplishing all. See, you got to understand something. It's not only Jesus here. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You get all three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three. You can't separate it. For the Son of Man, the Son of God, is our strength and triumph. It's our might and alliance in and through each and every situation, because our Lord becomes love's vindication, our identity, and our authentication. For in everything that Christ lived through, and all that he experienced, and everything he prayed for, and all that he accomplished, was but the precursor and the preparation for our transfiguration into dynamic transformation that is happening in you right now. So, Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, we agree with the Holy Spirit that he who is love is our all in all. For he who is King of Kings is our reconciliation, because our Creator and Savior's convocation is where we live and move and have our being. Where love and grace are in unity, face to face with the Trinity, saturated in divinity, right at home with he who is beyond the multiplicity of infinity. So let us today and every day remember together. We remember. We remember the Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, written behind you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. For we live in you, and you who rules and reigns seated on heaven's throne, for you have called us your chosen ones, your bride, your very own. And we remember that in the beginning was the Word, and as the Word, you were with God and our God. And we remember that the Word, you who are the Lamb, was slain from the foundation of the world. Bing! That's where you blow your head fuses. Your mind goes, what? How could that be? How could anybody make that statement and put it in a book like 3 or 4 times in the Bible? The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Bing! Another fuse is blown. In the mind of man, we remember that in the beginning you declared, let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be sun, moon, and stars. Let there be humankind that would be made in your image and likeness. Male and female, you made us in the midst of teeming life. And remember, and we remember that you said it was very good. And this we understand every time we eat the bread and drink the wine, yes and amen. We remember, yes, we remember, amen. And we remember that love has captured our hearts, because you are the fragrant and the beautiful, and you are as fragrant and beautiful as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And we remember your loving kindness and your justice, that which redeems and restores, that which will be revealed, so that all of humanity, no matter their state of being, shall see you and know that you love them. It's coming. Doesn't the Bible say every knee will bow? And that every tongue will confess? And we remember who we are, that you have gifted us with eyes to see and ears to hear, because you have natural eyes, but you have spiritual eyes. You have natural ears, but you have spiritual ears, and spoken to us about our worth and our value again and again. And we remember that you have given each of us a new heart. Jeremiah says that. And a right spirit in us who believe in you. And you have graciously gifted us with your faith to believe. It was you, Heavenly Father, who issued forth your new covenant, which has removed our hard hearts of stone and given us an obedient, responsive heart instead. And then we believe again and receive the Holy Spirit that comes to live within us. He empowers us to keep your commandments and gives us strength to live by them. He who is our saving grace, your amazing grace, your beautiful song, your sweet song, your love, which absolutely abounds and turned our entire lives around, flipping our worlds upside down. Not upside down, but right side up. Amen. And we remember you are the Ancient of Days, and yours is the kingdom that ever increases and never ends. And we remember that a bruised reed you will not break, and a dimly burning wick you will not extinguish. Because of your love, you faithfully bring forth divine justice as we discover your joy from above in the lighting of your dove. And we remember you are he who is the writing on the walls or in the sand, as well as he who writes upon our hearts your law of liberty, freeing us from condemnation and fragmentation. Amen. And we remember that you have given us a hundredfold. I'm here to tell your church, don't ask anymore for the double portion. Don't ask for the double portion when you could have a hundredfold. A hundredfold is greater than a double portion. And you are the truth that overwhelms others and makes all kingdoms yours. You are he that proclaims forgiveness and brings forth repentance, because you are the unchanging one of love. We remember that in wrath, you remember mercy. And your splendor covers the heavens. The earth is full of your praise, and your radiance is like the sunlight in the heavens. And we remember that you dance around us, Zephaniah, singing forth joy. And we remember that everything in your Son is holy, and as our families and our careers are set apart in you. And we remember that our work and our play are a beautiful sacrament of grace. And we remember that you will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers. And finally, O Father, O beloved Son, O Holy Spirit, in your fullness is your grace upon grace. We remember. Amen and amen.
If there's anything I want you to always remember, is the new covenant by his blood. You know, even when we forget, he doesn't. And I think of my favorite guy in the Bible, other than Jesus, Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of King Saul. And when King Saul and Jonathan were killed, Jonathan's son Mephibosheth did not know or remember the covenant. And he lost his way. But what is wonderful, God gave us remembrance. He gave us memories. That's why we can take our testimonies from long ago and remember and bring them into the now. And it gives us faith to conquer what we're walking through, because we remember what God did in the past. Remembrance is a powerful word. But you see, Mephibosheth did not know the covenant. Beloved, let us remember always the new covenant by his blood. You see, Mephibosheth, he was lost. But guess what? God brought to David's remembrance the covenant, the everlasting covenant that Jonathan and David had together. And Jonathan, who was a loving father, made sure that covenant went to his siblings. If something happened to him, he asked that this covenant would continue to his household. That's the Father's love. You know, the Father brought remembrance to David with the covenant that he and Jonathan had. And what's so wonderful, he remembered, and he called forth and said, is there any son left of Jonathan, or any child left? Go get them for me. And they found Mephibosheth, who was lost, and his limbs were broken, and he couldn't walk. A nurse dropped him in the fleeing of finding out that the king and the son were dead. They always thought that the next king would kill the offspring of the last king, but they didn't know the covenant that David and Jonathan had. But what's so wonderful, even though Mephibosheth lost his way and he forgot who he was, the king's son, we are the King of Kings' sons and daughters. He came fearful not knowing the covenant, and he laid on his belly expecting to be killed, but instead, not that he earned it, but instead he just forgot who he was. That's us. Sometimes we just forget who we are. Son of the King and daughters of the King of Kings, the Father of the universe, the God of the universe is our Father. And you know what happened? He said, get up, Mephibosheth. He told him the covenant that he had with his father. And he said, I would see this with spiritual eyes and ears. He says, I take you as my son. Just as Jesus did with us, just as the Father did. He adopted him into his family. And he said, Mephibosheth, everything will be restored to you. And you will sit at my table continually as my son. Is that a picture of you and I? It is. God is so good. Not because we deserve it, but because he loved us way beyond. Even when we were born, we were in his plan. And he will always remember. When we lose our way, he'll find us. That's how faithful he is. Amen. So, beloved, never, ever forget the new covenant by his blood. Some just don't know. We need to tell them. Come to the table. Amen. Come to the table. It's open for all. I've been to churches where they come and they bring communion, but if you're not of that faith, you're not invited. I cannot ever see the Father refusing anybody. His love is vast. His price that he paid for us is vast. And that was the whole purpose, to come to the table face to face with him. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he remembers us, even when we forget who we are. He'll send somebody. He'll send somebody like a David. Say, let me tell you what you don't know. You were maybe too young, or you just forgot. Let me tell you the covenant. It cannot be broken. Oh, how he loves us. Some say take communion every week. I say take it every day. When I see the table, I see the lamb, the meat. I see the candle, the light of the world. I see the salt and pepper. I see the salt of the earth. I see the water, the living water. I see the wine. I see the blood, the bread of life. The napkin, reminding us that he's coming again. You see the table, you see Jesus. You see the Father's love. Be blessed and remember, he loves you.
Holy, holy. There was no way till you made. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you kick me out? just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Holy, holy, there is only one. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful.
You'll see the mystery revealed. You'll see the purpose of the mystery, starting in verse 8, and then in verse 14 to the end, you will see the appreciation of the mystery. That's Ephesians chapter 3. And it will reiterate everything I spoke to you today about. Father, thank you so much for this service, this time together. Lord, in your presence, in your glory, in your goodness, when we have the goodness of God, we have the glory. And believe it or not, the glory of God is redeemed mankind. Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise and thank you. Ask you to bless this week. Bless our going out. Bless our going in. Bless our coming back. Bless our going in. Bless our coming back. And keep blessing us going forward. We give you glory, honor, and praise for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.